I guess it's time to start church. Well, it's lovely to see those of you who were able to brave the wetness and unpleasantness outside. It's certainly not a nice day to be out and about, but we're glad that you're here. We certainly gather despite the weather to worship the risen Lord and to focus on where God is calling us to be God's people. I'll draw your attention to a few things. We got a page full of announcements. If you haven't, check those out. We do want to make sure everybody knows you should be getting something in the mail this week. February 25th is our semi-annual congregational meeting where we'll approve audit reports and a couple other things like that. So plan to be with us on the 25th. That day we'll also be doing, during the Sunday school hour before worship, we'll do a intergenerational faith formation event. So we did one of these back in the fall. It's a time that we can have people across age groups get together and learn together and share together, sing some songs. It was a lot of fun, so I hope you can join us then. I think that's all the ones I'm going to make you listen to me tell you about, but Chip wants to point out something. The next men's group at 6:30 instead of 7. Okay. And if somebody will shoot that in an email to Latifa, we can get it in the bulletin. Yeah, great. Other announcements this morning? I'm not aware of any prayer shawls today. So we'll say this morning, happy birthday to Alex and to Karen. Happy birthday to Myra and Herbert, and we don't know about any anniversaries. Is there anybody we ought to add to that list this week? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll continue with our prelude. Our worship begins on page 94 in the front of your book. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin.
Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you praise.
Amen.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be known to the ends of your creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children want to head this way for the children's message.
Well, today is the first Sunday in February, and so I thought today we would talk about a bucket challenge. Now, how many of you would like an ice bucket challenge? Maddie, would you like me to put ice on your head? No, I don't think the others would either. So today we're going to do a nice bucket challenge, and it is a real thing if you look it up online. So they're calling this month Kindness Month, and that goes for everybody. And so the challenge is that every day, or at least once a week, you are to do something kind for someone else without them asking. And we're actually doing this at my school. The staff is doing it with the kids. We're trying to do something kind for one child a day without them asking. So one day, I took a sweater off a child that had it on upside down and just fixed it for her and didn't even tell her why I did it. So it's just simple things. So Maddie, you might see somebody that needs their shoe tied.
I helped someone get paper towels because they couldn't reach it.
That's perfect. So we're just going to keep doing those kind things during the month of February. Yeah, that's right. And so I have, and I'll continue to pass these out maybe at the mother, son, father, daughter banquet, since we don't have many here today. But I have each one of you a bucket, and in your bucket are four hearts. And so maybe your mommies can write on them, except for Maddie. And so if you'll write down one thing a week that you do for somebody in kindness without them asking, and then when we have the children's sermon the first week of March, will you bring them back and pick one you want to share out loud? Okay? And so here's your bucket. Here's your bucket. Bucket. All right. Let us pray. Dear God, help us as your children,
help us as your children,
to spread kindness,
spread kindness
throughout the world.
Throughout the world.
Amen. Thank you for coming up.
It looks like Miss Jane is ready if you want to go to Children's Church, or if you want to stay with us, that's okay too.
The first lesson is from Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root to the earth when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? Who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name? Because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Here ends the reading. The psalm for today is Psalm 147, and be read responsively. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God, for he is gracious, and a song of praise is fitting.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem and gathers the outcasts of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names.
Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre.
He covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow on the hills.
He gives to the animals their food, and to the young ravens when they cry.
His delight is not in the strength of a horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of a runner.
But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love.
Praise the Lord.
The second reading for today is from 1 Corinthians. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe betide me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights of the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I might by any means save some. I do it for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As soon as they left the synagogue, Jesus and the disciples he had called entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, While it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Before I get started in earnest this morning with the sermon, I just wanted to say, while it's on our minds, it's eerily quiet up here, with few of us gathered this morning because of the weather. But I don't think we've ever stated an official policy on what our winter weather situation will be. But in my mind, if I can get here safely, then we're going to have church with whoever can be here. If it is not safe for you to get here safely, you should not come. And we will be happily praying for you when you're not able to be here. But I know it gets confusing when other congregations, are having events being canceled. But for me, it's like, wow, maybe one of you, or maybe me, really needed to be here gathered with the Christian community today and hear the word proclaimed and receive Christ at this table, right? So that's why we're going to do that, as long as I'm here at least. If I'm not here anymore, you guys can figure out what you want to do. But that's going to be the plan, right, that we're going to have church if Pastor Matt can get here. And if Pastor Matt steps onto his road and it's a sheet of ice and he falls down, well, at that point, we'll make some other plans. But that's just the general plan. And I wanted people to know that, since it's not sort of been an official announcement of that kind of thing. So with that out of the way, last week we heard about Jesus in the synagogue at Capernaum, and for the first time, Jesus stands up in the synagogue to teach, and people are astounded because he speaks with authority. And then, as if to put an exclamation point on that authority, when a man with an unclean spirit speaks to him, Jesus casts out the demon, and everybody in the synagogue is just amazed. And then Jesus moves on. And that's where our reading for today picks up. Jesus leaves the synagogue and goes back to Simon's house. This is Simon that we know, who's going to be renamed soon as Peter. And it's in Peter's house where they tell him that Peter's mother-in-law is in bed with a fever, so seriously ill. We don't know how old Peter's mother-in-law was, but if we kind of assume that Peter might have been 20 or 30, somewhere in there, that would probably make his mother-in-law likely somewhere between 35 and 50, which sounds young, right, by our standards. But Roman records from the New Testament times tell us that if you lived past 10 years old, and a lot of people didn't, but if you lived past 10 years old, life expectancy was something like 45 years. Which means that Peter's mother-in-law is in the latter stages of her life expectancy at this point. And of course, this was before the era of antibiotics. So it's pretty reasonable to assume that whatever was causing her to be bedridden with this fever, it may well have killed her. But Jesus comes to her, takes her by the hand, and lifts her up. And just like that, she has a second chance. We love second chance stories, don't we? The idea that wherever we are now is not necessarily where we're always going to be. It inspires us to hear things like, Michael Jordan was cut from his middle school basketball team, right? We like to know that Einstein's teachers thought he was slow, and we are surprised to learn that he didn't learn how to read until he was 7 years old. that Dr. Seuss's first book was rejected by 27 publishers, that Vincent van Gogh sold only one painting in his entire lifetime, and that was to a friend who knew he needed some money and did it on the cheap. What's so impressive about all of these second chance redemption stories, though, is that the success for these people eventually came through their persistence, right? The fact that they didn't give up, that they worked hard to achieve the greatness which they are now known for. That's what's really impressive about these stories. But Peter's mother-in-law didn't do anything, right? She didn't approach Jesus. She didn't seek him out. She didn't ask to be healed. There was no impressive persistence on her part. She's just lying there, afflicted in her bed, and Jesus comes to her, enters in to restore her to fullness of life, pure grace. This is a different kind of story, right? This is not a second chance story about persistence winning out, but about inexplicably having another chance just drop in your lap. It's like the stories we hear about somebody receiving a terminal illness, right? The diagnosis of a terminal illness, but somehow, against all odds, they make a full recovery. Or hearing about a shooting victim who recovers from a bullet wound to the head. Hearing about a terrified law student in the middle of the road who knows that this lightning storm is certainly going to kill him. Anybody remember hearing that one? That's Martin Luther. So often, these folks come away changed, right? When they survive, they have this sense that they've been given a gift, and there's this accompanying notion that to go on doing life the way they had been doing life before, to not have some kind of change happen in them after receiving this gift would be to disrespect that gift. So these people devote themselves to something bigger than them, maybe to raising awareness and research on the disease, maybe working to end gun violence, or in the case of that law student in the lightning storm, Martin Luther, dedicates himself to a life serving and praising God. I think this is more like the narrative of Peter's mother-in-law. She's healed, restored as a full participant in the life of the community. And what does she do with her newfound wholeness and healing? She gets up and she serves. Okay, sure, we could find plenty not to like about this passage. We could roll our eyes and say, oh, this poor woman, she's on her deathbed and now they expect her to get up and bring them dinner. But that's not what's going on here. What she receives is a gift. And it's so tremendous that she is overcome. All she can do is share that joy by serving others. Mark's gospel has an interesting take on service. There's a scene you might remember where two brothers, these are the disciples James and John, they come up to Jesus and they basically say to him, Jesus, listen, we've been friends for a little while here. We're tight. We want the best seats in your kingdom. And Jesus is not amused. It's not in the text, but I just imagine him giving him one of these, like, oh, guys. And then he says to them, whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. The metric of greatness for Jesus, it isn't power or influence. It isn't the best seats of the highest honor. It's service, right? So by that metric, Peter's mother-in-law isn't just some poor woman stuck doing the housework. She's the first person, man or woman, in the Gospel of Mark who displays true discipleship. Because when Jesus lifts her up, she responds in service and love. The good news, sisters and brothers, is that we too have been lifted up. That Jesus, who is on a mission here already in the first chapter of Mark, he's already resisted Satan, proclaimed the kingdom, called disciples, taught in the synagogue, and put demons in their place. And with all that going on already in such a short time of his ministry, Jesus still slows down and takes the time to help a sick woman. Because this is who Jesus is. This fundamentally is who God is, the one who loves us enough to take on all the unpleasantness of humanity. And we're talking about Jesus walking the earth in a human body that certainly had aches and pains and all the limits of what a human body can do. But also Jesus opens himself up to the negative consequences of a humanity afflicted by sin. This is the God who for us in Jesus suffers mockery, dishonesty, and betrayal for the sake of being with us and redeeming us. The God who faces down death rather than let it separate us from God. In Jesus, God lifts up this woman before himself being lifted up on the cross and then lifted up in the resurrection from the grave. All of that is for our sake, right? For the sake of lifting us up. The God who notices, who cares about our struggles and hardships, does something about them. Jesus comes to us, stands with us in the pain, walks with us, and then promises that there is better in store. That tied to Jesus in the waters of baptism, we will also be lifted up. And that is good news. It means we don't have to worry. God has got this all under control, and whether or not we understand what we experience, there is nothing that God can't handle. The hope and promise of our faith is that it will be made right. Because inexplicably, despite our undeserving, God has chosen us. God has dropped this second chance right in our laps. It's good news that ought to bubble up in us, overflowing out of ourselves and into the world so that in joy, the only possible thing we can do is look to share it. We serve not so that we will be counted as great or have the place of honor, but in respect and gratitude for the gift that we have received. In Jesus, God has lifted us up. This is our second chance story. Will we squander away the gift? Or in gratitude, will we devote our lives to something bigger than ourselves? Will we serve? Amen. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the
Now let us confess what we believe by the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Confident that God, our light and our salvation, hears us when we pray, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Gracious God, we pray for the church, its pastors, deacons, teachers, musicians, artists, seminarians, and all who proclaim the gospel, that your gift of steadfast love and mercy will spread throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for all those who travel this day, especially those for whom snow or ice make things potentially treacherous. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for all rulers of the earth in local, regional, national, and international offices, and those without the power of official office, that they will be given the courage to work for the protection of all people and act as servants of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for victims of human trafficking and for sex workers. Protect them and give them hope and work through law enforcement to bring them release and restoration. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for all who suffer this day, for the sick and the wounded, for the grieving and the brokenhearted, for the hungry and exploited, for those with malaria, and all who need our prayers, especially Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Madeline, Barbara, Bill and Betty, the family of Steve, Marshall and Billy, Gracie, Billy, Emily, Alice, David, Scott, Jeff, the family of Bob, Chuck, Ricky Ann, Boyd, Tanya, Kim and Mike, Craig, Jody, Elena and Kelly, Bobby, the family of Dorothy, Brianna, and all those we name now. We ask, Lord, that they will be consoled and healed by healthcare workers, counselors, family, and friends. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who gather in fellowship and festivities, for the ministries of this congregation in our community and throughout the world, that in all our service we see ourselves centered around Christ for service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak them. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace with one another.
just by way of reminder, we do have, after our normal offering is collected, we'll do a basket offering today also
to support our youth trip to Houston.
Thank you. Let us pray.
Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
This is Christ's table, the feast of all the baptized. Come. Congregation may be seated.
Thank you.
we stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement, which is on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.